Let's face it, size matters.
Truly epic proportions.
Especially when it comes to your financial talk.
I have a plan.
Quick sound bites and rush chatter won't help you.
Blah, 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 blah.
You want more details, more depth.
Concentrate, focus power.
More to think about.
What do you think?
This is Money Life's Big Interview.
I think it's brilliant.
A meaningful conversation on money and markets.
This is why we're here.
So settle in.
I made you coffee.
You're going to be here a while.
That's just perfect.
Yes, it is. And today you're going to be here for a while hearing from Ron Sanchez, the Chief Investment Officer at Fiduciary Trust Company International. If you want more information, it's fiduciarytrust.com. And better yet, if you go to the Money Life Show recent and upcoming guest page, you can find a longer link that will take you directly to their outlook for 2018. Ron Sanchez, welcome back to Money Life.
Great. Thanks for having me, Chuck.
So I did take a look at your outlook for the year ahead, and it's not necessarily a lot different from everybody else's in terms of you kind of feel that things are going to keep going for a while, et cetera. So I want to get back to that in a minute. But I want to get to something that you used a phrase in your commentary that I thought was very interesting as we size up the year. The words were rational exuberance, because a lot of people believe that this market will go on until we get to that spot where people are a little too crazy about it. And if it's rational exuberance, things could go on for a long time. But you also said that investors are kind of feeling tired because this bull market has run for so long. So how do you balance fatigue with rational exuberance?
So I think, just to clarify, our view about fatigue is that I think that's a perception or a misperception that some investors or clients have, because we're 8 years into an economic recovery. So by some standards, we're long in the tooth, and markets have in a one-directional fashion have continued to grind higher since 2009, and valuations are very high. And so when we talk to our clients, I think there's a concern when you add up those three that we're closer to the end and that it seems excessive. We had markets that here in the U.S. were up 20%. If we look outside the U.S., you see returns in the mid-20s. And if you look at emerging market countries, you've had returns over 30%. And so it is, I think, perplexing from some that don't follow the markets very closely, and it seems like it's excessive. And we take kind of a different view on that. I think it's quite rational where we are in markets. We are in a resurgence and a broadening out of global growth, what we refer to as global synchronization. And this is the best economic environment we've had since 2010. It's not the roaring 80s, but the best economic environment that we've had since 2010, and that economic environment is translating to a profit cycle or an increasing profit cycle. And so, again, here in the U.S., I've seen earnings, after stalling a year or two ago, have had a nice upward swing or resurgence, and year over year for 2017, I have earnings that are growing at 10%, which is obviously nice to see. When I look in Europe, I see earnings growing in mid-teens. When I look at Japan, I see high teens. And again, when you look at outside in some emerging countries, you're seeing year over year growth rates that are as high as 30%, especially in emerging markets that had been quite subdued and saw the downward pressure from commodities and a loss of global trade kind of in that 15 and 16 year period. We've seen a nice reacceleration here.
That sounds like a lot of reason to be exuberant, truthfully, when you hear things being that good. At the same time, you're not actually expecting 2018 to follow the path of 2017. So what's a reasonable expectation? Because we've had a couple of people who have said, hey, look at what the market's gained so far. That's what we expected for the entire year, and we're not even 15 trading days into the new year. Now, that could mean that we just get a lot of volatility and kick the can down the road for the next 11 months and 1 week, or it could be that their forecasts are way off. But how do you look at what lies ahead for investors?
And so I think as we look out into 2018, we make a distinction between our macro views that I expect more of the same and a solid and supportive backdrop for risk assets. So I like risk assets here. I would not pull it in, so to speak, or start taking chips off the table. Having said that, I think we need to moderate our expectations about returns. We are coming off of a stellar return profile, both from a return in the absolute that is was unbelievably strong, and a backdrop of muted volatility that was incredibly muted, almost unprecedented. And so if you look at 2017, the high to low range for the S&P never varied between 2.8%. That is the tightest range in 60 years. So to expect that to continue, I think what that that environment reflects the ideal environment that we had in 2017. And so I think you have to manage your expectations down. I think volatility increases or really starts to normalize off an incredibly low base. And I think the return profile is going to be positive. And it could be more modest in that kind of 5 to 8%. But there is the potential for an upward surprise. If we see some animal spirits, I think actually Jamie Dimon had referenced that in the investor call, that he's starting to see maybe some early signs. We saw some announcements from Apple and others about their plans in 18 from a capital, whether it's a direct result of tax reform. But nonetheless, we see an environment that, again, is positive. And it's not implausible that you can have double-digit returns here if the economy continues to accelerate this. But for us, I think I'm comfortable that I'm in a positive return regime, that I like taking appropriate risk here, and that I'll be compensated, and that the return profile should be positive, and again could be in a wider range.
Will that compensation for taking the risk here be better internationally, and if so, will it be better in developed or emerging markets than it is domestically?
We continue to think that you want to participate and have exposure to global resynchronization. It started in mid-16 and really played out in 2017, and I don't believe it's a one-year dynamic. And so you want to have exposures to international markets, both Europe and Japan. And in developed markets, we are overweight and are more neutral on emerging international companies.
You mentioned Japan early. And, you know, while everybody's been talking about the domestic market and the Dow, the S&P and the NASDAQ all at record highs, they haven't been talking about Japan and the Nikkei reaching levels that we haven't seen in the lifetime of my daughter, who's 26 years old. We're back to levels we haven't seen since 1991. Does that continue, or does that recovery kind of taper off?
No, I think it does continue. I think 2017 was a bit of a turning point. From a macro standpoint, as you know, Japan has had just absolutely no growth rate for almost two decades and have been faced with deflation. They have now produced six straight quarters of positive GDP growth. We're seeing a little bit of an uptick in inflation, and we're seeing a change in corporate behavior where it's a little more shareholder friendly, raising dividends, for instance, share buybacks. Deploying cash more favorably. We've seen earnings increase by 20%. And so it's our expectation that it wouldn't be to that magnitude, but that that trend continues. Many investors haven't really focused on Japan for a very, very long time. And I think it remains an opportunity. And I think the market returns that we saw in 2017 will continue to see strong returns from those exposures as well.
What is your wild card? I mean, you've just given us a very optimistic appraisal of the situation. What's the thing that scares you that, like, hey, this could rein the game?
So we are particularly focused, in addition to, you know, kind of the black swan geopolitical things that are very hard, shocks to the system that are hard to identify. Inflation is something that I'm particularly focused on. I think it's one of the surprises in 2017 where we've had a reacceleration of global economic growth and actually a deceleration of global inflation, in particular here in the U.S. It's actually decreasing. And so that has created financial conditions that we would describe as optimal. So despite the fact that the Fed raised rates three times, the 10-year Treasury has been in that 2.2 to 2.4 range and very stable for most of 2017. I've had a flattening yield curve. I've had credit spreads or private borrowers. I've seen those spreads for investment grade and for high yield compress or be lowered. Mm-hmm. That's a positive development. And I've seen the dollar weaken by 10%. This is all because inflation has been quite muted here. And I think as we look out, I don't believe that trend is in place. I kind of share Chairwoman Yellen's view that it's transitory. A couple of things in the middle of the year, both on healthcare and some wireless pricing, created a little bit of a downtick in inflation. I think inflation remains somewhat muted, but the wild card is that if we had all of a sudden kind of a resurgence of inflation and wage pressures that became more acute, I don't think the market is necessarily pricing that in. And so a sharp upward move in interest rates because of inflation, I think, is a wild card and a challenge. That is not our forecast. I think it'll be a slow and gradual, but I am on the lookout if that perspective is incorrect, because we are seeing a much stronger uptick in inflation.
Great stuff, Ron. Always great to chat with you. Thanks for joining me on the show. We'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Ron Sanchez is the Chief Investment Officer at Fiduciary Trust Company International. For more information, go to fiduciarytrust.com to find their outlook for 2018. Find Ron on our guest page, and you'll find a link there. We're halfway through today's show, but that means we got a lot more to go, including the market call with Brian Peary a little bit later. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.